This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford and Albert Curley is back to help me and Heskip look ahead to Arsenal, who haven't beaten us in nearly 3 years, and Manchester City, who haven't beaten us at the Etihad in almost 3 years. Yes, well.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome everyone. Heskiff, that intro was particularly for you. You love those sorts of things.
Yeah, it's just as well that I was muted there because I made some very odd noises groaning at that.
Right, I'm parched, so we're going to start with this.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken! Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Right, I was very sad you didn't come on last week, Albert, after you had that. You sent me a picture with loads of fancy beers on. The Dutty range, wasn't it, from Tiny Rebel?
Yeah, there was all sorts in there, to be honest. Something called Dutty, which was pretty rank. It's not an ironic name. What else is there? Lots of things with very flowery names that I'm sure you'd appreciate.
Mm. Are you drinking one of them today?
No. I'm really letting you down this week. I'm not drinking any form of beer, unfortunately.
Not dry January?
Absolutely not. That went. I don't believe in dry January. I got confused. I didn't know what day of the week we were recording. I did a fast day today, Terence. You know how it is. And when you're on a fast day, can't get that sweet beer in.
Okay. Heskiff, am I alone?
I just thought it sounded like a posh person saying Thursday when you said that, fast day. I think my issue last week was we were talking about bollocks and Albert wasn't on. So I felt a little disappointed that he wasn't there.
Yeah. Albert, you missed out on the main Manscaped stuff.
I can assure you I haven't.
how is it down? Is it all smooth still, or is it starting to get back a bit stubbly?
No, it's I've gone from sort of Mila Jedinak's beard to Andy Johnson's head.
Wow. And the missus is pleased, or she just doesn't look there anymore?
I'm not sure she's noticed. not for the lack of me trying to get her to notice. Lots of lunges before bed.
Wow. I'm sure the listeners want to see that. Maybe you can do it on YouTube for
well, that's good because the wife didn't.
Well, I'm still got a few of my Tiny Rebel Funk range to finish off. So I'm drinking one that's an apple sour, and it tastes just like the apple sour drink. Did you drink that stuff at uni, Eskiff?
I didn't drink at uni, mate, did I?
Oh yeah, of course you didn't.
Sorry, can I just say when you refer to Tiny Rebel, I still thought we were talking about your nether regions.
excuse me. Less of that. It would be medium-sized rebel.
What? It's not rebellious. Is that what you're taking issue with?
Very average rebel.
It's a tiny conformer.
Anyway, support for the Back of the Nest Preview podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineers tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BOTN. Right, so we're going to start off this week with, we'll go for Eberechi Eze. He's broken COVID rules. It seems like a growing list in South London. Hesketh, we spoke about Luka last week breaking them, and you know, does this fall in the same bracket? I mean, I'm really scared to sort of go, you know, so hard on Luka and then perhaps easy on Eze.
Well, I think the thing with Eze is, like, does he really need to do it? You know, we said the same with Luka. Like, what, does he need to go out and have a party on New Year's Eve? And does Eze really need to go and watch what apparently was an absolutely awful QPR game? You know, it's just, they go through all of these sort of protocols at training and, you know, on the way to matches and stuff, only to then see photos of a player doing none of those things, watching another club, you know? So, yeah, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. It's annoying. It's another sort of, it sounds a bit precious, but like a bit of a slap in the face, because we're all still sat here staring at four walls, you know, or staring at Albert's balls, one of the two. but what I did think was quite interesting was Roy said, you know, he's been fined because a slap in the wrist is not enough, but we won't drop him. And I do wonder if Jeffrey Schlupp wasn't injured, whether Eze would have been dropped anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting because he said he every punishment needs to be on an individual basis. And he's obviously said that he thinks Eze just naively done it. And, naively didn't practice social distancing or wear a mask. Albert, do you have any sympathy for Eze, or, he needs to just wear the whatever punishment comes his way?
Yeah, I don't have much sympathy at all. Similar in the way, I mean, it wasn't like a public outcrying from myself, but you know, I was very, very disappointed in the Luka incident. You know, and in a way, that's worse because he's just had a party indoors with however many other people. But obviously, the precedent has been set for what the punishment is. I think Eze's indiscretion was slightly less, but that doesn't mean I don't feel the same disappointment that Hesketh's referred to. Clearly didn't need to do it at all. If he went to watch a Palace under 23s game, you'd sort of think, is that really necessary? Albeit probably more acceptable. So I think, I certainly agree with the fine, but again, he can't drop him because he didn't drop Luka. So he's kind of put himself in a corner there. We seem to know what our level is at the club of acceptance when it comes to stuff like that. I mean, again, everyone's going to have their own take on it, but yeah, I didn't agree with what Luka did, and I don't agree with what Eze did, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got to say, I agree. I think Roy said QPR wore some of the responsibility as well, which is good to hear, because, you know, somebody at the club should have said, hang on, you want to come here if you cleared this with Palace, I guess, and I don't know, but I think, Hesketh, if you summed it up well, we're all sitting here staring at the same four walls, and it's a bit frustrating. It feels like other people can just go out and do what they want. You know, I wouldn't have minded so much if all these teams were actually in what I thought to be quite secure bubbles, but it turns out they're really not at all, and they're not being that tested that much either. And it was they're now moving up to two tests per week for each player, which, you know, I thought they were doing at least that as a minimum before. So, you're just running the risk like everyone else of, you know, exposing yourself to the virus. And, you know,
I get tested twice a week at work, and I'm not allowed to hug my mates when we do something really fantastic or flip side of that, I'm not allowed to go and slide tackle somebody in another department.
Well, they've said this, right? No hugs, high fives or shirt swapping is what they want to get towards. And Roy talked about how difficult it is when you score a goal and emotions take over. Is it ridiculous though to say don't go and celebrate with each other, but you can get right up someone's backside while you're trying to mark them and stuff like that? It seems a bit counterproductive, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, completely. I mean, there's contradictions in every scenario, whether it's football or, you know, I'm going to work, I'm allowed to go to work still. You know, and there's really stringent protocols, but there's times when you do find yourself too close to someone, or you're in a space where it's not physically possible to actually stay that far apart. So, like I say, there's going to be sort of grey areas all over the place. But, you know, on things like, do you need to go to another stadium and watch another team? No, you don't. The what you've referred to, Terence, in terms of marking other players, et cetera, that would probably be all right if the testing was a bit more stringent and the bubbles were a bit more stringent. But again, as you just said, it doesn't seem they are.
Yeah. Vinnie Jones certainly wouldn't be able to do his form of marking in the current day. Now, Hesketh, Alan Lee practiced social distancing with a goal celebration once. You think it could catch on?
Yeah, maybe. I think we need to score a few more goals to find out, really, though, don't we?
After the Wolves game, where we had one shot on target, Roy once again went on one of these rants about it's not about shots on target. We got a lot of balls across the face of the box, Hesketh. Did that please you?
Oh yeah, brilliant. I mean, I know that I'm miserable, but if the litmus test of a good performance is getting the ball flying across the 6-yard box every now and again, irrespective of whether any of our team's in the box or not, then we really are grasping at straws.
I thought for the first 4 or 5 minutes of that game, I thought I'd seen something different going forward. And I was like, I even said to the missus, we're definitely going to score in this game. And she was like, how do you know nothing about football despite watching it all the time? Well, there you go. Well, anyway, look, from Albert, I know you're particularly excited about this, but someone who would struggle with no hugs is a certain Dougie. Hey, Dougie. And it's been revealed today that the creator of Hey Dougie is a Crystal Palace fan and season ticket holder. This is great news, isn't it, Albert, for all the parents out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for anyone familiar with, or not familiar, should I say, with Hey Dougie, the concept is he's kind of a bit of a scout leader who looks after a group of young animals. They're called squirrels, but then none of them are squirrels. It's like the Squirrel Club, and each episode they do a badge, a bit like being in the Scouts. All joking aside, it's a fantastic cartoon. It's actually one you can actually sit down with your kids and not want to like throw yourself out a window. And to hear that it's been come from the mind of a Palace fan, that's a nice touch. I'm looking forward to some Palace related episodes. Like I say, every episode's about, it's the friendship badge or it's the teamwork badge. I'm looking forward to the keeping a clean sheet badge. balls across the 6-yard box badge, things like that.
Now, apparently, the creator lists, I keep saying the creator, I haven't written down his name, I'm a disgrace. I'm just going to scroll up in the article here.
Grant Orchard.
Grant Orchard, there you go.
I've got you, babes.
Now, he listens to Back of the Nest. So he was asked in this article, we just need to check that Scout Leader Dougie isn't based on Scout Leader Jeff.
That is so out of order on Dougie. Watch your mouth out.
Well, the show does always end with a Dougie hug, so.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah,
but go on.
Now go on.
Well, is that obviously because he's called Dougie. So with his love for the Eagles now public knowledge, it would be a remiss of us not to ask whether Dougie was inspired by club legend Dougie Friedman, especially as Grant started as a season ticket holder in 2011 when Friedman was at the helm. Grant mused, maybe subconsciously, it would be a great headline for you, but I don't think it was. It was originally going to be called Chop Chop or Dugo, And then Dougie came up. You could say, I think it could be possible on a subconscious level. That's a bit disappointing.
It's weird because the pilot episode was called the fucking off to Bolton badge. So I don't know if he's remembered that correctly.
And then the new one, coming back with your tail between your legs badge, is that in there somewhere?
Probably.
Well, God, I'd say that. I think that first season, if it went on two games longer that Freeman went to Bolton, Bolton might not be in the mess they're in right now, that's for sure. He did a pretty good job there.
I thought you were talking about, the first season of Hey Dougie. I was like, why? What happened?
Well, if you want to watch Hey Dougie, it's on Netflix, isn't it? You can watch it on Netflix, on the children's section of Netflix.
BBC iPlayer. Get straight on BBC iPlayer. It's all on there.
It's all on there as well. So,
highly recommend it.
Whatever your streaming platform of choice is, I guess. So, what else we got here? Sacco Hesketh. He's he managed 45 minutes, and it looks like he's done for the season. I mean, Roy didn't go as far as to say that, but a lot of the articles that have been written after have gone on to suggest that. And it would be meaning his time at Palace is over, and probably that we're going to miss out on a few million that we might have been able to get for him this transfer window. It's probably fair to say he probably hung on at Palace for 18 months too long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his number of games played was in the last 18 months, but it couldn't have been a huge amount. I think it's a shame. You know, I've been pretty vocal on here as being a very big fan of his, because I do think when he's fit, which is obviously a massive ask these days, but when he's fit, I think he's our best defender. I think he gives us a lot that the other defenders don't. Specifically sort of starting play and getting the ball moving.
I thought you meant heart attacks.
It's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we knew that he had injury issues, but like you say, I sort of thought that maybe we'd get a couple of million quid, but by the sounds of it, he's off. He's played his last game. And what a last game it was to be remembered, a thigh strain in a game where we got the ball in the six-yard box a couple of times.
Yeah, he did play a couple of lovely passes in between the lines, but didn't materialise. But there you go. I mean, let's think some of his more funner times, his good memories. Albert, what you got? What's your main Sacco memories, except from having heart attacks?
The two that stand out for me, one was the, I mean, he wasn't on the, when he was the celebration at Anfield when he was still on loan. Yeah. His little celebration with Benteke, I believe it was. That was a nice touch. And then the other one, I can't think which goal it was. I think it might have been the when we turned Leicester over. Was it 5-0 at home?
Mm-hmm.
It was either I want to say it was one of the fourth or fifth goals. He just plays the most sublime through ball, and I was right in line with it.
That was the one to Loftus-Cheek, wasn't it?
That's right. What a ball! And you know, he had that. I'm talking about him like he's fucking dead. He has that in his locker. He had that ability to say
he had that in his locker might be accurate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's on his day, which again, we through injury and sometimes through, you know, just being on the wrong end of a bad team performance, you know, on his day he's an unbelievable talent, and not just at defending, you know, like Hesketh said, the way he could start an attack, get his head up, you know, and he wasn't scared of a little dribble, a little sort of 15, 20 yard dribble into the midfield, which was again raised the blood pressure a bit at times. But you know, if I think the way to sum him up in my mind is if he could stay a lot fitter, and if he didn't have those sort of those heart attack moments, he'd probably still be at Liverpool, you know, or a top six club. I'll be sad to not see him in a Palace shirt again, because you're guaranteed something when he comes on the pitch, and you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I had a conversation with someone very close to Sacco once upon a time, and they said that Palace was basically ended up being the perfect move for him, because he loves the lifestyle, but fell out of love with football a long time ago, and just that is probably around the doping scenario and all of that of when he got banned, but just didn't really have interest in playing football anymore. So to come to Palace, be on 100 grand a week, could just continue the lifestyle and when he did turn up, when he was playing, when he wasn't injured, you know, looked really good, but no real massive expectations there to do anything. He just want earn the money, gets to the end of his career and just carry on living his life and having the lifestyle. So it's a shame really, because there were times where especially him and Tompkins just looks unbeatable together for large periods. And that first season when he came in as well, you look at our record with him and without him. We would have gone down without him, that's for sure, if he didn't come in on loan, because he just transformed our back line when he did come in, even with that back heel to Hazard in the last minute, that 1-0 win against Chelsea. But it's a shame that his love for the game in a sense got killed like that, by being falsely accused of something that he didn't do wrong. So yeah, it's a shame. What about you? Got any more memories? I mean, Hesketh, my main one is I missed his only goal. I was on my honeymoon in Mexico, watching on the dodgiest iPhone stream ever. drinking Dos Equis, yeah.
Oh, all right, I'll let you off. It was Stoke, yeah, it was. Last minute, wasn't it? Last minute,
wasn't it? Yeah, the Kabaya shot hit the post, didn't it, and bounced out to him.
Just to clarify, the game was against Stoke. That's not where Terence was on honeymoon.
Yeah. It was a Mexican restaurant in Stoke. Albert talking about that assist against Leicester is probably mine, because it sort of showed everything. Sort of he took the ball out of the air, went about 20 yards with the ball, and then paid a perfect sort of defence splitting pass. And the opposite of that is, him doing his little back heel in the 6-yard box against Chelsea, where you just can't believe what you've seen. Luckily, it didn't mean anything on the day there. But actually, there was a video knocking about, which I saw on Twitter fairly recently, when he just goes, he's in the cafeteria, and he's just going up to every player, and he's got a different handshake with every player. Mm. And I love it, but I just thought, if you don't like Sacco and you see that video, you're going to absolutely hate him.
Yeah, I mean, talking of the assists, he also did the same against Chelsea for Zaha when we finally won our first game of the season against Chelsea at Selhurst. It was a ball inside that set Zaha up, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, a lot of people were thrown around whether he's one of our best ever centre backs. And when all the dust has settled and people think about the periods where he was actually fit and playing consistently, there's probably an argument to be made there. And we miss his balance as well, having a naturally left sided centre back. Everyone who's playing on the left side now, it's only really Delaney and then Sacco. Everyone else is kind of forcing the position a bit. But, yeah, so sad to see him go, but I think it's about time. Ideally, would have got 15 games a season out of him, not 15 more. Just 15 in total would have been great. But we'll see. We might recover and get a couple of games in the back end of the season. But if that's to be it, thanks for your efforts, I guess. And good luck at Nice if that's where you end up. Looks like Nathaniel Clyne's going to sign a new deal. Hesketh, we talked about this last week and saying that perhaps he was asking for a bit too long and stuff like that. So it all seems to be resolved now. Are you expecting it to come out as an 18-month deal like we talked about last week?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fantime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Yeah, I don't really see the point of giving him just another 6 months, especially as we don't really know how far along Ferguson is with his sort of rehab. So I reckon it would be an 18-month. Which is good business, I think, for all parties, really.
Yeah, Roy obviously sounded very happy with him in the press conference, talking about how he's done since he came in, and just saying it was just to see if he was still the same Nathaniel Klein once he got fit, and he suggests that he is. I mean, Albert, he's not the same Nathaniel Klein, is he? He's lost some of that pace for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But he seems to I forget that he's, you know, I think unlike, listen, he always draws comparisons to, I think, Wan-Bissaka, you know, he, in his day, you know, he relied on pace. If someone got past him, if he got caught slightly out of position, and Wan-Bissaka was the same, but he seems to have kind of, I don't know if it's a conscious thing, but based on what we've seen so far, his positional sense seems, you know, to have made up for that. And he rarely gets caught out. And from, again, based on what we've seen so far. So, I like my defenders to have the ability to defend first and foremost, and his defensive abilities aren't in question as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, he came through our academy, obviously, which, you know, has a fairly decent reputation, and hopefully that will grow with all the works that we're putting into it currently. But Hesketh, we've let one get away, it would seem, in Quedwo Bar. Now, for listeners that may not remember who he is, he's the ball boy from back in 2016 who ran on the pitch when the goalkeeper kept wasting time and, you know, planted the ball on the edge of the six-yard box to try and speed up his goal kick. Turns out we released him a couple of years ago, Hesketh, but he scored twice for Rochdale against Charlton this week.
Yeah, and one of them was an absolute peach. When I saw, because you lot were talking about it in our WhatsApp group, and I had a horrible feeling that he had scored for Charlton. So I was quite relieved to see when I clicked the link of the video that it was he was wearing a dark blue kit rather than a red one. But yeah, it was a great goal, sort of corner of the box, hit it first time, roofed it. Yeah, and to do, like you say, he scored twice. To do that against Charlton's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was crazy because there's a video of Chris Grierson talking to him after the incident with when he was ball boy, and it was only 5 years ago. And I was watching this video, it's just like he's playing for the under 14s. He's a child. Like how old is he? And it turns out he's still 17. Actually, made his debut, Albert, for Rochdale when he was 16, and he replaced a certain Aaron Wilbraham.
Oh, I was on mute there. How old was he when he replaced Aaron Wilbraham?
He was 60. He replaced Aaron Wilbraham as a sub, as a 16-year-old for Rochdale. So,
and talking Aaron about Wilbraham, would it have been what, 42 or something?
Something like that. Certainly old enough to be his dad, that's for sure.
Over twice his age, for sure. That's quite absolutely impressive.
It is. But I mean, he looks he looks like a Palace player. He's skillful. He's quick. I was going to say he's got a great finish on him, but
and get it in the 6 yard box.
Yeah, he can. He looks like he'd be able to get the ball across the 6 yard box. That's for sure. But it's a shame we've let him go, because I would say, based on the back of being 17, already having 3 goals to his name this season in League One and having all this buzz around him, is. His price tag's probably worth some decent money. Could have recouped what we're going to lose on not being able to sell Sacco, I guess. Right, the last thing we're going to end on here before we briefly get into talking about the two games that are ahead. I mean, we can probably cover them both off with a lot of the same comments. But it came to light this week, Crystal Palace's all-time record. Did either of you see this?
I did.
So, Albert, Crystal Palace all-time. Games won, 1,702. Games lost, 1,702.
We'll take that, won't we?
Games drawn, 1,209.
goals for 6,375, goals against 6,373.
We're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen.
So we're talking 116 years, and all we've got to show for it is a plus two goal difference.
At least when
it all is said and done, if you just look at it holistically speaking, Hesketh.
Yeah.
Will's two goals at Brighton.
Oh, I like that, Terence. Mm. Brilliant. And that's why he's a ledge.
Who will for me, for clarity.
Let's just say I meant you.
I mean, Albert, is there anything to say? Could we be more bang average?
We could only be slightly more bang average, according to those stats. But hey, there's still time. There's always tomorrow night.
Yeah, what is it we need? We need 493 nil-nil draws in a row to keep it up, or just score draws, whatever. And then we can get 1,702 across the board. You know, Boy would probably take that as well. I don't know if he could be in charge of 400 more games, though. Even he might keel over before then.
I'm not a betting man, but...
Is he going to make 493 more minutes in charge is the question, to be honest.
Listen, the way we're playing, I'm not sure if I'll make it that far.
Yeah, I talked about this after the Wolves game. Maybe it's because we're being forced to watch on TV and all of this, and commentators really annoy me all the time. But anyone else finding it a bit of a chore at the moment?
Only for the past year and a bit. Yeah, <it's-
laughs> but I compared it back to Taylor. Like, I haven't felt like this since Peter Taylor was in charge.
I'd say that's about fair. Yeah.
And I'll add to that and say probably the last half of the season before the promotion season under Friedman, that was pretty dreary when talking about playing central defensive midfielders. But yeah, it was a bit dreary at that time because it was all basically being set up for the following season, as we know now with hindsight. But you know, it was when he was picking Easter over Murray. We couldn't score goals, and I think we won three games in 27.
I mean, so. the only other thing that comes close is the last very unnecessary few months of Pardew's reign, but at least
that was entertaining, though. At least there was loads of goals, as stressful as it was.
yeah, true. You know,
there was a 5-4 in there. There was never 5-4s under Taylor, was there?
Yeah, that's true. But I think
and if we see a 5-4 under Roy, I think I might keel over and die.
I mean, the fact that we're sitting here arguing about have we had it, you know, when was the last time we had it this bad, is a damning indictment of the general state of affairs.
Is it harsh, though, considering we're on 22 points? Is it a bit harsh that we're approaching it like this?
We talked about it a bit earlier this season where we were further up the table, and we will say it doesn't feel like we've been doing that well. You know, yeah, we've got points, and they're like, great, we've got 22 points, but it doesn't feel like it. And I think the thing that does make it a bit of a chore is, you know, like you said, you watch a Wolves game in the first, you know, 5-10 minutes, you thought, maybe this is all right, maybe we're going to play a bit differently, and then it like settles into the same kind of repetitive, boring football that you see every week. And you just think, like, nothing's going to change. You know, we need something magical to happen. Like, all right, we beat Sheffield United, but they were particularly bad. But, you know, I'm talking about the Burnley game, the Newcastle game, the Wolves game in the Cup. It's just all very, like, you know what's going to happen. And we joke about, oh, we're going to lose every week. But as soon as Wolves scored, I was just thinking, like, are we going to get back in this? Probably not. And to finish the game with no shots on target or one shot on target, like, you know, this has happened far too often. And I think, considering the players we've got, I don't think that we should be playing as sort of negatively and as unimaginatively as we are. And it just, yeah, it does make it a bit of a chore. Like, I'll always watch us. I won't stop watching Palace, but it's not enjoyable.
Mm. Yeah.
No, it's just true. I mean, I know tomorrow that I'm going to finish work and be like, I should feel excited for this game, but do I? Probably not. But it's Arsenal up first on Thursday. I did say up at the top of the show, we haven't lost to Arsenal in almost 3 years. We've had three draws and one victory in that time. But Albert, we've seen to pick up, we've picked them up when they've just hit some form, annoyingly.
Yeah, it sort of ties in with when Hesketh was saying, you know, when we were a bit further up the table with more points than maybe we'd sort of used to at that point of the season. You know, it was like, well, at that time there was teams massively and there's, you know, it's not saying it's not true now, but there's teams massively underachieving, which kind of maybe inflated our position a bit more. And one of those teams was Arsenal. So yeah, they seem to be doing a bit better than, you know, they have been. We seem to be doing a bit worse than we should be, and it will certainly make for an interesting game, I'm sure. But yeah, it's hard to go in with any real sense of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, Hesketh, I would have said that we'd be a shoo-in for winning this game if you hadn't finally seen us beat Arsenal a couple of years ago. can't be there again. But no, it's the aim for Roy is going to be to set up tight and hit on the counter. But I think in the last seven of the last eight games, Arsenal have scored at least two against us at the Emirates. So they've always found it quite easy to breach our back line.
Yeah, I remember when we... in the 2-2 game where we came back from 2-0 down, I was talking to my mate who's an Arsenal fan, and he's fairly miserable. So we were both doing the sort of, you're going to win. No, you're going to win. And I just said, look, there's no way with Wayne Hennessy in goal, we're keeping a clean sheet. And he was like, no, I'm telling you. And obviously they went 2-0 up after about 8 minutes.
Scored the same goal twice, didn't they?
yeah, they did. So hopefully... not having Wayne in goal is good, but I think that goes for every game. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough one. Obviously, their issue earlier this season was they weren't scoring a great deal, and it looks like they've not that problem on the edge. So it is frustrating that they're coming into form at just the right time when we're not as defensively sound as we have been in previous seasons. So if they were scoring goals against us when our defence was pretty good, I'm a bit worried about how they're going to do when our defence is pretty crap.
You say that, though. I mean, we did keep a clean sheet against Sheffield United, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, were awful. We only conceded one goal against Wolves. Albert, how did you feel about that goal? Jack Butland obviously made his debut. Do you think he should be doing a bit better there, or are we going to give him the benefit of the doubt because it was a good strike?
I think the players in front of him should be doing a bit better in terms of that goal.
I think it was Eze was particularly poor, wasn't he?
Yeah. Butland, yeah, I mean, it's not a wonder goal, you know, but should Butland do a bit better? Yeah, probably, but he was probably sort of expecting someone to try and tackle Traore, or at least try and get in front of him a bit more. So I'm not going to slag off Butland on his debut, even if he was a massive howler, like it happened.
Sorry, I've done Eze a disservice. I think it was Jairo Rudevold actually who should have done better. And Hesketh, not surprised to hear that Traore hadn't scored for over a year domestically.
Yeah, and they kept hamming it up before the game as well. Like that, they just kept talking about it. And I guarantee 99% of Palace fans knew what was coming.
Obviously, yeah, just pings it top bin. So what's Arsenal missing? Martinelli, he's got twisted ankle apparently. Partey and Gabriel might make the bench, but unlikely to start. But Hesketh, it's through integrating most of their youngsters that's seen Arsenal gather up a bit of momentum. I mean, it's good to see them getting their homegrown talent in and them being successful. It bodes well for the future English game. But, it's club after our own heart in that sense.
Yeah, don't ask that question to Patrick O'Connor. I think blow a gasket if you ask him that. I mean, their academy seems to be bearing a lot of fruit again. You know, it's something that we would like to see more of at Palace, obviously. Tyrick has proven himself to be easily our first choice left back And with, you know, the crop of youngsters that we've got coming up in the 18s, you know, within a year or 2 years, there could be a lot more coming into our first team, depending on management. So, like we've said with ours, you don't know until you play them. And Arteta seems to have a lot of trust in the young players that they've got, and they're, you know, repaying their faith by getting these results. So, yeah, I think maybe it's less pressure on them than some of the more established pros. They're just happy to be playing and sort of play with the shackles off a bit. But either way, yeah, it's going to be a very tough one because their tail's definitely up over the last few weeks.
Okay, so Albert, bearing in mind we haven't lost in our last two visits to the Emirates, what's the score going to be?
Just going on the odds, you know, they didn't concede against Brighton, West Brom or Newcastle. I'm fairly sure they're not going to concede against us, so I'm going to go for a comfortable 2-0 victory for the Arsenal.
I don't know. I think we'll be able to get in behind them because they'll just come on to us a bit more. I think we might score. What about you, Hesketh?
I was going to go 2-0 to Arsenal as well. I just think, yeah, they're just comfortably better than us.
How many balls across the 6-yard area do you think we'll do?
That's a very good question.
That's what we really want to see. Forget goals.
I'm going one in each half. I'm pushing the boat out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I still think there's a lot of inexperience at the back there for them. Both of these games coming up, Arsenal and Man City, are the perfect opposition for Roy in that sense. So, I don't know. I'll optimistically plump for a 2-2 draw. Although saying that we'll score two goals does seem ludicrous to me, but particularly away from home. But yeah, I think that'll leave some gaps for us. And you know, Zaha always likes to do well at Arsenal, whether it's because it's his boyhood club and all of that. But yeah, I'll go for an optimistic 2-2. And then, I mean,
Arsenal haven't conceded more than one goal in like the last like 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I mean, if you look at our head-to-head against them, I'm sure we're always banging two past them.
I just wanted you to have all the facts before committing to your prediction. You know, I'm not saying you're going to, I hope you're not wrong.
Yeah, of course. And when was the last time we scored two goals away from home? Well, I think we've probably only scored twice in a handful of our last 10 games, like maybe 3 or 4 times tops. Like it's unlikely that we're going to start scoring these sorts of goals.
I would scroll up the page of the results, but I don't want to knacker my mouse out to go back that far.
Yeah. So if looking at this board here, 1-1 draw, 2-2 draw, 3-2 win, 2-2 draw, 4-1 defeat and a 3-2 defeat. So, you know, it's only twice in the last 6 games against Arsenal that we've failed to score 2. So, you know, we find our ways against them, but you know, we shall see. Now we can have much of the same conversations about Man City that will follow on Sunday. Again, at the top of the show, I talked about we haven't lost at the Etihad for almost 3 years, with coming off a 2-2 draw and a 3-2 win, and more widely in Manchester, we're 3 unbeaten at Old Trafford as well. So we're going into Manchester 5 games undefeated. Hesketh, they've struggled through 1-0 against Brighton tonight. It's certainly not the Man City that we've come used to under Pep, is it, at the moment? Is something still not quite right there?
Yeah, they haven't really clicked into gear for most of the season. Like you say, that we're used to, but I mean, they're still a good team, aren't they? You look at the players that they've got, it's even a sort of average Man City team's still pretty potent. I didn't watch any of the game against Brighton today, but I did get a text saying that Lewis Dunk is shit. So I know that I'm veering off track here, but I just always want to underline that point in case people listening don't remember that Lewis Dunk's shit. They haven't been the usual selves, Man City. But I don't know. It's hard for me to be positive. Yeah, the stats are great in the last couple of years, but I'm finding it very hard, even for me, and I know I'm a misery guts, to find positives in the team at the moment. I think maybe it'll suit Roy's game plan to play teams that are more front foot, as opposed to teams like Burnley and Newcastle, because we're used to sitting back and keeping our shape and all that. But these are going to be two very, very tough games. And I think we've got West Ham after that as well, haven't we? So who are in good form. So we've really got to just, even if we do lose, put in good performances so you can sort of keep your head up a bit. You know, we don't want to go down the road of getting battered and our heads dropping and looking over our shoulder more and more.
Yeah, the thing that does go against us in terms of playing these two teams back-to-back, Albert, is that, you know, Roy likes to stick with his core players, and these are two teams that are going to make you run a lot. You can see him just leaving James McArthur in for the whole 180 minutes of both of each, 90 minutes of each game, 180 minutes total, can't you? And just seeing him being knackered come halfway through the second half against City.
Yeah, I can almost smell it. That's how realistic that, you know, that option's going to be. I think it's hard, you know, and it sounds obvious, but it's hard to predict what we might do against City, because obviously we've got a tough game at Arsenal in the way first, so it's hard to know what personnel will be available, etc. But again, all things being equal, they're a better side than us. They're a very good side. But you're right, you know, there is something wrong at the moment at City. You know, I don't know if they just haven't spent enough money. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they've looked at that. But they're not, yeah, it's not a vintage City team. But they still seem to be, you know, grinding out results. And Phil Foden seems to be sort of coming into a bit of form. So yeah, it's one of those, you look at it and you think, well, if we get a point, we'll have had a really good day. So I think that's kind of what we should be aiming for in both the next two coming games.
Did you see the interview recently where Pep was asked, "Do you think you've got your mojo back?" And he had no idea what mojo meant.
Was that the one where he was dressed up like a bit of a glue sniffer?
What does a glue sniffer dress up like?
He just had like a big coat on and a hood and a bit of a straggly jumper. He just looked like he'd come across a camera crew and was going to ask him for some change.
An insight there into the mean streets of Hertfordshire, I think. Okay, for so real. For real, give me another quick prediction then, and then we'll top it off there.
Oh, let's push the boat out and go 1-1.
And Heskip, what about you?
3-1 City.
Okay, I'll go 1-0 City for this one. I don't think we're going to score against them. It'll probably be the other way around, because as we've all well established, I know nothing about football. Right, thank you everyone for listening. The review show this week will be recorded on Monday. Should be out Monday night for you. That'll be post the Man City game. There won't be an Arsenal review in that sense. It will be obviously... Well, I mean, should we beat Arsenal 3-0? I'm sure Hambo might find a way to squeeze in a review, to be honest, but we shall see about that one. And then I guess we'll be back next week, normal time. So who have we got, Heskiff?
West Ham, isn't it?
West Ham. Mm. So is there not do we not get the respite of because we got knocked out of the FA Cup?
Oh, maybe. This again, it always shows how little research we do before we start.
Yeah, so we do. We do get a 10 grade. So it's the 27th of January. So, we do get a week off. Look at that.
The good news is they've sold Haller, so there'll be no more goal of the season contenders.
Yeah, it's a shame they couldn't have done that a little bit sooner.
It turns out I saw Haller play on my stag do. I went to... watch a game in Utrecht, and apparently he was playing up front for Utrecht. I had no idea. I certainly didn't see a £40 million strike on the field that day, that's for sure. But Yeah, that was a discovery the other day. But anyway, right, so we'll be back in 2 weeks then when we'll be reviewing the West Ham game, and you guys can listen to Hambo and the crew talk about Arsenal and Manchester City on Monday. Until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.